Buddy, would the House please come to order, and would members please indicate their presence by voting? We do have a quorum present to conduct business. The invocation today will be presented by Reverend Cordell Reiner, Seventh-day Adventist Church. Would the members please rise?
May I invite you to bow your heads while we pray. O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions, the sea, the mountains, living things both small and great. All these wait for you. May the Lord rejoice in his works. My Father, I thank you again for another day. May my life glorify you and be a blessing to others today. Your people here have come together to do service for one another. May you guide them in all that they do here in this chamber today. You who created the universe so perfect that we haven't yet figured out. May you guide us in our problems here today. May you help us bring solutions that would benefit all people and bring unity to our nation. Happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. So we, your people and the sheep of your pasture, will give you thanks forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Reverend Reiner. Representative McLean, would you please lead us in the pledge?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread across the journal.
Without objection, the prayer will be spread across the journal. The clerk, please certify the journal for the previous legislative day.
I certify the correctness of the journal for the 107th legislative day.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that the House Journal is certified by the Chief Clerk be approved.
Without objection, the House Journal is approved. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. May the journal reflect that Representative Willis is excused from the call of the House today from 11:15 till 1:45 p.m.
Representative Willis will be shown as excused in that time frame. Do we have guests today for introduction? Representative Bundy?
Yes, Madam Speaker. I'd like to introduce my friends, the garbage haulers.
Further guests today for introduction? Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd like to introduce a constituent of mine that I have not introduced this year. Carl Rose is the Executive Director of the Alaska School Board Association and lives in Skagway in my district. I'd like to have you help me welcome him.
Representative Davies.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. In the Paratovich Gallery is an old friend of mine, patriot, Merritt Helfrich. He's down here trying to extol the virtues of one of the most promising economic development projects in the state of Alaska, the LV2 project. I hope you'll welcome Merritt Helfrich.
Further guests, Representative Foster?
Yes, ma'am. Very briefly, I wanted to introduce a near and dear friend of mine, Elmer Lindstrom, who's been working many, many years on behalf of Bush Alaska and many years down here in Juneau as a fellow civil serpent. Thank you.
Further guests for introduction, Representative Robinson?
Yep, Madam Speaker. I, too, have two of my staff people who most of you have met, but I requested that they come down today before the end of the session so I could introduce everybody to them. Plus, it's kind of, you know, the boss's nightmare. They have birthdays one day apart. So I told them that this is in the middle so they could come down and we can all say happy birthday at once. So anyway, it's Carla Timpone and Katarina Bennett. And Katarina was on the winning baseball team.
Further guests for introduction? This brings us down the calendar to messages. Do we have messages from the governor?
Message dated May 2nd stating the governor has signed the following bill and has transmitted the engrossed and enrolled copies to the lieutenant governor's office for permanent filing. Senate CS for House Bill 146, Rules, Chapter Number 13, SLA 1995. And Senate Bill 62, Chapter Number 14, SLA 1995. I have no further messages from the other body, Madam Speaker.
From the governor. Do we have messages from the other body?
Message dated May 2nd stating the Senate has passed the following and they're transmitted for consideration. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 18 by Senators Taylor, Pierce, Kelly, Torgerson, Green, Miller, Lehman, Sharp, Rieger, Halford, Salo, Duncan, Ellis, Lincoln, Zara, Phillips, Donnelly, Frank, and Adams, honoring the military veterans of World War II and commemorating the 50th anniversary of the end of World War II.
That'll be referred to rules for calendaring.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 19 by the Senate Rules Committee by request, establishing the Blue Ribbon Commission on Gaming and Gambling and relating to commission recommendations regarding gaming and gambling in the state.
That'll be referred also to rules for calendaring.
CS for Senate Joint Resolution Number 22, Resources, by the Senate Resources Committee requesting research on fisheries and marine mammals in the Bering Sea.
Referred to House Special Committee on Fish and Resources.
CS for Senate Bill 18, Finance, by the Senate Finance Committee entitled An Act Relating to an Advisory Vote During Regional Education Attendance Area School Board Elections and Providing for an Effective Date.
That will be referred to HESC Committee, Community and Regional Affairs, and Finance.
Senate Bill Number 166, amended by Senator Torgerson, entitled An Act Relating to the Date by Which a Borough School Board is Required to Submit a School Budget to the Borough Assembly and the Date by Which the Borough Assembly is Required to Appropriate Money from Local Sources for Public Schools and Providing for an Effective Date.
That'll be referred to Community and Regional Affairs.
I have no further messages from the other body, Madam Speaker.
Do we have communications?
There are no communications.
Reports of standing committees?
The House Health, Education, and Social Services Committee has reviewed the qualifications of the appointments to the Board of Nursing, Joe Sinigatek, Belle L. Cunningham, Kathleen R. Kloster, and recommends that the appointments be forwarded to a joint session for consideration. The reports were signed by Tui and Bundy co-chairs, Beasy, Rokeberg, and G. Davis. The reports also stated that they do not reflect an intent by any member to vote for or against this individual during any further sessions for the purposes of confirmation. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee has considered House Bill 205, Street Gang Activity, recommends it be replaced with CS for House Bill 205 Hess with the same title, recommending DuPass, TUI, no recommendation, G. Davis, Bundy, Robinson, and Bryce, amend Beasy. The report was signed by Bundy, co-chair, House Bill 205, as a further referral to the State Affairs Committee. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 268, Appropriation FY96 Capital Projects Budget, recommends it be replaced with CS for House Bill 268 Finance with a new title, recommending DuPass, Foster, Hanley, Mulder, Coring, Kelly, Ontario, amend Grusendorf, Brown, and Navarre. The report was signed by Hanley and Foster co-chairs. House Bill 268 is on today's calendar. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered House Bill 270, Retirement Incentive Program, recommends it be replaced with CS for House Bill 270, State Affairs, with a new title, recommending DuPass, Elton, and Cabina, no recommendation, Rokeberg, Porter, Masick, and Cott. The report was signed by Cott Chairman. House Bill 270 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee has considered House Bill 281, AHFC Transfers to General Fund Bonds, recommending DuPass, G. Davis, Tui, and Bryce, no recommendation, Bundy, and Robinson, amend Rokeberg and Beasy. The report was signed by Bundy, co-chair. House Bill 281 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee has considered House Bill 282, Financing, Repair, Rehabilitation, and View of Alaska Buildings, recommending do pass, Tui, Beasy, Robinson, Bryce, and G. Davis. Do not pass, Rokeberg. No recommendation, Bundy. The report was signed by Bundy, chairman. House Bill 282 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Resources Committee has considered CS for Senate Joint Resolution Number 27, Resources Endorsing Falls Creek Hydropower Project, recommending DuPass, Osterman, Ogun, Green, Williams, no recommendation, Cotton, Davies. The report was signed by Green, co-chairman, CSSJR 27, Resources has no further referral. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee has considered Senate Bill 58, amended, use of title industrial hygienist, recommending do not pass, Tui and Beasy. No recommendation, Rokeberg, G. Davis, and Bundy. The report was signed by Bundy, co-chair. House Bill 58 amended has a further referral to the Labor and Commerce Committee. The Resources Committee has considered CS for Senate Bill 77, Finance Amended Intensive Management of Game, recommends it be replaced with House CS for Senate Bill 77, Resources, with the same title, recommending do pass Green, do not pass Davies. No recommendation Osterman, Ogan, Williams, and Cott. The report was signed by Green co-chair. CSSB 77, Finn Am, has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee has considered CS for Senate Bill 88, Finance, Pilot Program for Charter Schools, recommending do pass G. Davis, Tui, Robinson, and Bryce. Do not pass Bundy. No recommendation Roekberg and Veazey. The report was signed by Bundy co-chair. CSSB 88, Finn, has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee has considered CS for Senate Bill 123, Finance, Post-Secondary Education Programs, recommending do pass G. Davis, Bundy, and Tui. No recommendation VZ, Robinson, and Bryce. The report was signed by Bundy, co-chair. CSSB 123, Finance, has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Madam Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
There are no special committee reports.
Do we have resolutions or citations for introduction?
Citation honoring Julianne Singh by Representative VZ. Honoring Christy Monroe, Girl Scout Volunteer, by Senator Duncan and Representatives Elton and Robinson. Honoring Reggie Johnson, Girl Scout Volunteer, by Senator Duncan and Representatives Elton and Robinson. In memoriam, Sandra K. Moll, by Representative Davies. In memoriam, Bjorn Guilford Johnson, by Senator Donnelly. I have no further citations or resolutions for introduction.
We have bills today for introduction.
House Bill 329. By Representative Bundy, entitled An Act Providing for a Restitution to the State for the Unlawful Taking of Game.
That'll be referred to Resources and Finance.
House Bill 330, by Representative Moses, entitled An Act Relating to the Unincorporated Community Capital Project Matching Grant Program and Providing for an Effective Date.
That'll be referred to Community and Regional Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 331, by Representatives Terrio and Kelly, entitled An Act Relating to Mining.
That'll be referred to Resources and Finance.
House Bill 332, by Representative Osterman, entitled An Act Prohibiting Charitable Gaming Permittees from Contracting with Operators to Conduct Pull Tab Games and Providing for an Effective Date.
That will be referred to Judiciary and Finance.
House Bill 333, by Representative Parnell, An Act Relating to Licensure Requirements for Employees of the Office of Public Advocacy and the Public Defender Agency.
That will be referred to the Judiciary Committee.
House Bill 334, by the House Resources Committee, entitled An Act Exempting Certain Natural Gas Exploration Facilities from Regulation for Purposes of Preparation of Discharge Prevention and Contingency Plans and Compliance with Financial Responsibility Requirements.
That will be referred to the House Special Committee on Oil and Gas and Resources.
I have no further bills for introduction, Madam Speaker.
This brings us down on the calendar to consideration of the daily calendar. Will the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar? Let's briefly stand at ease. Would the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
House Bill 87 by Representatives B. Davis, Davies, Robinson, and Brown, entitled An Act Authorizing Youth Courts to Provide for Peer Adjudication of Minors Who Have Allegedly Committed Violations of State or Municipal Laws and Renaming the Community Legal Assistance Grant Fund and Amending the Purposes for Which Grants May Be Made from that fund in order to provide financial assistance for organization and initial operation of youth courts. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered the bill, attached 4-0 fiscal notes, recommending do pass G. Davis, Bundy, Roekberg, Tui, Robinson, Bryce. The report was signed by Bundy, co-chair. The Judiciary Committee considered the bill, recommending do pass Finkelstein, VZ, Porter, Bundy, and Tui. The report was signed by Porter, chairman. The Finance Committee referral was waived. I have one amendment that's being duplicated, Madam Speaker.
House, briefly stand at ease. Back to order. Did we have a committee substitute on that? House, come to order. Would the clerk please read the first amendment on her desk?
Amendment number one by Representatives B. Davis and VZ, beginning page 1, line 10.
Representative Davis?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move amendment number one.
Is there objection? There is no objection. Amendment number one is adopted.
Thank you.
Does the clerk have further amendments on her desk?
No, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that HB 87 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Motion is to advance to third.
I'd like to object from that.
There is objection?
I haven't even read the amendment.
House briefly stand at ease. House, please come to order. Is the motion for advancement maintained? The motion for advancement is maintained. This bill will appear on tomorrow's calendar under third reading, under second reading. We could vote.
Okay.
Representative Parnell?
Can we take a brief at ease?
This bill will be held, HB 87 will be held on the calendar in tomorrow for tomorrow's calendar. House, briefly stand at ease. By my statement, this bill will be held for tomorrow's calendar in third. Thanks. Would the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Sponsor substitute for House Bill 191 by Representatives Terrio and James, entitled An Act Relating to the Management and Disposal of State Land and Resources Relating to Certain Remote Parcel and Homestead Entry Land Purchase Contracts and Patents and Providing for an Effective Date. The Resources Committee has considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with CS for sponsor substitute for House Bill 191 Resources with the same title attached to 20 fiscal notes, recommending do pass. Williams and Green, no recommendation. Davies, Cott, Osterman, and Ogun. The report was signed by Green co-chairman. The Finance Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with CS for sponsor substitute for House Bill 191 Finance with the same title, recommending do pass. Foster, Parnell, Coring, Brown, Terrio, no recommendation. Mulder, Grusendorf, Navarre, amend Kelly. The report was signed by Foster, co-chair. I have two committee substitutes on my desk, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 191 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, the Finance Committee substitute will be adopted. Does the clerk have amendments on her desk?
No, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 191 Finance be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed in final passage.
There's objection. House Bill 191 will be held in third for tomorrow's calendar. Would the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar? House, briefly stand at ease, Mr. Minority Leader. Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
House Bill 224 by Representatives Coring and Green, entitled An Act Relating to the State Plumbing Code. We had a motion to adopt CS, House Bill 224, State Affairs.
Mr. Majority Leader, would you replace that motion, please?
Would you like me to restate the motion? Yes. Madam Speaker, move and ask unanimous consent that the State Affairs Committee substitute for House Bill 224 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, the State Affairs Committee substitute will be adopted. Does the clerk have amendments on her desk?
No, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill 224, State Affairs, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed in final passage.
Without objection, 224 will be in front of us in third reading. Would the clerk please read the title for the third and final time?
CS for House Bill 224, State Affairs, by the House State Affairs Committee, entitled An Act Relating to the State Plumbing Code.
We're under debate. Representative Coring.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'm very glad to finally be able to bring this to the House floor. I know it's a bill everybody's been actually waiting for months now. Actually, I've heard years. This bill has been in the hopper for literally years now as far as updating the plumbing code. It's not a real fancy bill, but nevertheless, it's a very important bill. And the intent of the legislation is to update the state plumbing code by giving the Department of Labor the ability to amend any revisions or changes to the code. And what we're talking about is, over time, as technology improves, there's as far as methods and materials and so forth that are used, it would enable the department to implement these different changes in technologies for the betterment of society, basically, in terms of health and safety and so forth. I want to also point out that this is the last construction code that requires legislative action to permit such updates and amendments. The last one that was actually granted by the legislature was last year in 94, which was House Bill 101. It dealt with the electrical code. There are numerous other codes that relate to the construction industry. I mentioned this is the last one, but the other ones are the electrical code, the uniform building code, the plumbing code, the uniform mechanical code, among others. This bill does have broad bipartisan support, including support from the plumbing and pipe fitting industry, the Department of Labor, who would administer this code, mechanical engineers, many of whom have written me letters and whom my staff has been in contact with on this legislation, and also a private enterprise as far as contractors who would install various systems and so forth, and also suppliers of plumbing equipment. I'd also like to, in closing, take this time to thank those that have worked real diligently on this bill. It wasn't a real easy bill to work on, but there were several individuals I do want to acknowledge, including my distinguished colleague from District 11 in South Anchorage. He chaired the subcommittee in labor and commerce, and worked very hard and diligently in trying to accommodate the concerns that were out there, and crafted what we thought was a very fair and reasonable committee substitute here. Also, my colleague from North Pole, who chairs the State Affairs Committee, I do want to appreciate her patience in working with me on this bill. And I think what has emerged with this legislation is a good compromise, is a fair bill that takes into consideration the concerns mainly that were expressed from folks in the Fairbanks area dealing with the installation of what are called double-wall heat exchange units. So anyway, Madam Speaker, in closing, I would respectfully request a favorable consideration of this legislation. Thank you very much.
Further debate? Representative Robinson?
To revert back up to introduction of guests.
Without objection, we're under introduction of guests.
Yeah. Madam Speaker, just another person who's worked really hard on this bill is, of course, from the department, and he's one of our distinguished assembly members here in Juneau, and it's Dwight Perkins, who's the special assistant over at Department of Labor, and I'd like people to recognize him. Come on. Stand up, thank you.
Representative James?
Yes, thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd like to associate myself with the remarks of the representative from District 26 who is the sponsor
of this
bill.
Pardon me, just momentarily. Are there further guests for introduction? We're back under debate. Representative James.
Don't make me say it over.
Oh, no, you don't have to.
We did work hard and diligently, and what we came up with was a very fine compromise. I believe everyone gave a little, and I think it is a representation of a true democratic process, and I urge everyone's support of this bill.
Further debate? Representative Roquefort?
I just want to reflect the sentiments expressed by the last two speakers. Believe me, this bill was a lot tougher to get here than you believe on the face of it. And it took a lot of work and a lot of effort, and I think it did work out, and I'd really ask for everybody's support here.
Further debate? Representative Navarre?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I chaired the Labor and Commerce Committee when I first came into the legislature. One of the bills was updating the plumbing code at that time, so I understand how difficult the task is in bringing this bill and the compromise to the floor. I do want to ask a question, though, with respect to Section 4. And I could do it in at ease, or I could ask whoever put this exemption in here, the waiver in here, what the arguments in favor were and whether or not this is a compromise between costs and efficiencies and public safety and what the potential dangers to the public from providing this type of waiver is, if I could.
Representative Coring.
Well, thank you, Madam Speaker. There was some concern that the double-wall heat exchange unit, which would be the standard established by the Department of Labor, may create some extra costs, and the concerns were expressed by folks in the interior where there would be a preference for a single-wall heat exchange unit. So we worked real hard to come up with a reasonable compromise and one that did not hinder, in our views, the safety in the continuing use of single-wall heat exchange units. And so we put together the waiver, which is what Section 4 has to do with, and the waiver does grant municipalities the right to permit the continued use of single-wall heat exchange units, but only under certain conditions that would assure safety of the use of these units. The three conditions would be the use of what's called propylene glycol. It's a substance that is used in the coils of this heating system that is considered non-toxic. Another one would be the required pressure that would be maintained in the system. We're getting into some technicalities here, but the point being is that there are conditions here that allow for safety to be the result here in the event that a waiver is, in fact, permitted by this legislation. Thank you.
Further debate? Are you ready for the question? The question being, shall the House adopt committee substitute for House Bill 224, State Affairs? Members, please proceed to vote. The clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Will the clerk please tally the board?
36 yeas, 3 nays.
And so, committee substitute for House Bill 224, State Affairs, has passed the House. Would the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
House Bill 268 by the House Rules Committee by request of the Governor and Ted Lin Act making appropriations for capital project matching grant funds and to capitalize funds, making, amending, and repealing capital appropriations, and providing for an effective date. The Finance Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with CS for House Bill 268 Finance with a new title, recommending DuPass, Foster, Hanley, Mulder, Coring, Kelly, Ontario, amend Grusendorf, Brown, and Navarre. The report was signed by Hanley and Foster, co-chairs. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 268 with a new title be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, the Finance Committee substitute will be adopted. With House stand briefly at ease, Mr. House stand at ease for 15 minutes. Would the Majority Leader, the Rules Chairman, and the co-chair of Finance please meet in my office?
Second.
House come to order. Move it to the bottom. House come to order, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 268 be moved to the bottom of the calendar for consideration later this day.
Without objection, House Bill 268 will be moved to the bottom of the calendar. Would the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
House Bill 269 by Representatives Ivan, Bundy, Foster, and Williams, entitled an act relating to credits against certain taxes for contributions to certain public educational radio and television networks and stations and to endowments for public educational radio and television networks and providing for an effective date. The State Affairs Committee considered the bill attached to fiscal note recommending due pass James, Willis, Robinson, Ivan, Ogun, Green, and Porter. The report was signed by James, Chairman. The Finance Committee considered the bill recommends it be replaced with CS for House Bill 269 Finance with a new title, recommending DuPass, Foster, no recommendation, Hanley, Mulder, Terrio, Navarre, Kelly, and Coring, amend Parnell. The report was signed by Hanley and Foster co-chairs. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 269 with a new title be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, the Finance Committee substitute will be adopted. Does the clerk have amendments on her desk?
No, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, move and ask unanimous consent the committee substitute for House Bill 269 Finance be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There is objection. House Bill 269 will be held on tomorrow's calendar in third. Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
House Bill 288 by Representative James, entitled an act relating to procurement preferences for corporations and partnerships owned by persons with disabilities. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered the bill recommends it be replaced with CS for House Bill 288, Labor and Commerce, with a new title, attached to zero fiscal note, recommending DuPass, Roeckberg, no recommendation, Elton, Kabina, Massick, Sanders, and Cott. The report was signed by Cott, Chairman. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute for House Bill 288 with a new title be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute will be adopted. Does the clerk have amendments on her desk?
No, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader?
Madam Speaker, move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill 288, Labor and Commerce, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There is objection. House Bill 288 will be held in third for tomorrow's calendar. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
House Bill 292 by Representative Ogun, entitled an act relating to searches by peace officers who enforce fish and game laws and to false statements and omissions in regard to application for fish and game licenses, tags, and permits. The House Special Committee on Fisheries considered the bill recommending DuPass, Ogun, no recommendation, G. Davis, Osterman, and Elton. The report was signed by Osterman, Chairman, attached as a zero fiscal note. The Judiciary Committee considered the bill recommends it be replaced with CS for House Bill 292 Judiciary with a new title, recommending DuPass, Porter, Finkelstein, B. Davis, Toohey, Bundy, Green. The report was signed by Porter, Chairman. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Bill 292 with a new title be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, the Judiciary Committee substitute will be adopted. Does the clerk have amendments on her desk?
No, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for House Bill 292 Judiciary be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There is objection. House Bill 292 will be held in third on tomorrow's calendar.
It's his birthday.
How's Denny's? House, come back to order. Is the objection for advancement maintained? We are under third. Representative Robinson?
I'd like to revert back up to introduction of guests again.
Without objection, we are under introduction of guests.
Yeah, Madam Speaker, we just have two guests again in the Pradovich Gallery, and I don't really know them either, but I've had fun talking with them, and they're from my the hometown that I lived in when I moved up here in 76 from Austin, Texas, and it's Alan and Virginia Cassidy, and I just like people to welcome them.
Further guests for introduction? This brings us back down to the calendar. Would the clerk read the title, please, for the third and final time? The House, briefly stand at ease. Do we have it? Would the clerk please read the title for the third and final time?
CS for House Bill 292, Judiciary, by the House Judiciary Committee, entitled An Act Relating to Searches by Peace Officers Who Enforce Fish and Game Laws, to False Statements and Omissions in Regard to Application for Fish and Game Licenses, Tags, and Permits, and to Non-Resident Hunters.
We're under debate. Representative Ogun.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. This bill has two parts to it. The first part is basically a cleanup of some of a statute in Title 16 that requires only fish and game enforcement officers to submit an intent to search form. This is a paperwork requirement that isn't required by any other peace officer. It doesn't compromise in any way a person's right to privacy, and therefore it's just generally a cleanup. The other part is if a person makes a false statement on a hunting license, and I think we can all possibly think of someone, I know I can think of a couple people that have moved to the state, spent maybe a few months here, decided not to spend the money on a non-resident license because they cost more, and falsified it. Right now, the way the statutes are written, if you knowingly falsify that statement, and the jury or the prosecutor can prove to a jury or to a judge beyond a reasonable doubt that you knowingly lied, then they can prosecute you for that offense. The problem is, it's difficult to prove that someone knowingly lied. They either lied or knowingly lied. So what we're trying to do is take the knowingly clause out. So if you lie, you lie. And if you falsify the statement or the document, then you're guilty. Now, there's two levels of this. There's one level that if you make an honest mistake, it's a mere violation. If you if there's an obvious intent to knowingly lie, then it is a misdemeanor.
Question? You ready for the question, Mr. Minority Leader?
First of all, Madam Speaker, I wanted to wish the sponsor a happy birthday today, a little present from the minority to advance your bill, because he had tears in his eyes earlier saying it was his birthday. But, you know, it does make me feel a little bit bad because it is his birthday to know that after having talked to a lot of you about this bill, I've had great concern about this bill, and I know that I haven't found too many people that really like this bill. So I just ask members to vote your conscience on this bill. Thank you.
Further debate? Are you Representative Rice?
I'd like to associate myself with the remarks made by the minority member. We discussed this issue in caucus long and hard, and there's very large implications to fish and game, to the budget, that I don't think the prime sponsor is aware of. So, yeah, I would just urge my colleagues to vote against this.
Further debate? Are you ready for the question? Representative Cott?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd like to associate myself with the previous two speakers, except I can't.
Are you ready for the question? The question being, shall the House adopt committee substitute for House Bill 292, Judiciary? Would members please proceed to vote?
Happy birthday.
Would the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member wish to change his vote? Representative Navarre. Clerk, please tally the board.
37 yeas, 0 nays.
And so, committee substitute for House Bill 292, Judiciary has passed the House. Happy birthday, Representative Hogan. Would the clerk please read the... Momentarily stand at ease. Representative... House come to order. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. With the permission of the body, I'd like to move down the calendar to unfinished business. I have a birthday announcement I'd like to make. That this would be the most appropriate time, Madam Speaker, I'd just like to welcome to the legislature one of our new legislators and ask the members to join me in wishing him a happy birthday.
Would the House please stop? Would the House please stop? Mr. Minority Leader, would you try?
All right. One, two, three. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Scott. Happy birthday to you.
Representative Hogan, you have the floor.
Well, I have the great distinction of having the absolute worst birthday song. I'm sorry you guys didn't continue it because it was really good, you know. But thank you, and I hope I don't owe a huge debt to the minority for the special privilege of getting my bill off the floor.
You do. Thank you, and happy birthday. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 78 be moved down the calendar and postponed until right after citations on today's calendar.
Without objection, House Bill 78 will be moved to right below citations. Representative Barnes?
Speaker, I would just like to say I'm really glad my birthday is in July.
Yes.
Happy birthday.
Representative Bryce?
Thank you. I'd just like to serve notice of reconsideration on House Bill 224.
Notice of reconsideration, 224?
Yes, ma'am.
Notice of reconsideration on 224 has been given. Would the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
CS for House Bill 217, Labor and Commerce, amended by the House Labor and Commerce Committee, entitled an act relating to teacher tenure, teacher layoff, and rehire rights, public access to information on public school collective bargaining, and to the right of tenured teachers to judicial review of decisions of non-retention or dismissal, and relating to retirement for certain employees of school districts, regional resource centers, the state boarding school, and regional educational attendance areas, and providing for an effective date.
We are under debate. Representative Ivan.
Madam Speaker, I believe there's was there an amendment proposed to this bill?
House, briefly stand at ease. Representative Ivan, would you come here? Before we begin debate on this bill, I would like to also remind the members that I will invoke Mason's Rule 102, one person debating on every single issue. Opening remarks on House Bill 217, Representative Ivan.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. House Bill 217 before us will allow our school districts flexibility and latitude during these times when educational costs are rising and the dollars are limited. I believe we need to examine even further how our educational dollars are being spent. House Bill 217 is the first step toward that goal. The economic downturn has created the pressure for these changes, and the policies that are being changed in House Bill 217 were created during a time when the state spending had few limits. Now local school districts are facing a crisis since they have very little control over revenues. This bill, again, is not the total answer, but a step. Madam Speaker, I want to keep my comments brief. We have belabored the pros and cons on this bill throughout the committee process and here on the floor also. I appreciated all the comments and points made during the debate. I wish to thank my colleagues for their participation and efforts. Now, Madam Speaker, I'll shut up. I had a tooth pulled out this morning and my mouth hurts. Thank you.
Representative Martin.
Yes, Madam Speaker, we have major concerns about this bill, what happened yesterday. And first, formally, I think what has to be done, I'd like to request that we return to second reading to revisit and perhaps rescind our action on Amendment Number 3. This is when we added the retirement without any decent discussion whatsoever on it to the school tenure. And I'd like to show some reports to the committee if they would grant the courtesy of returning and showing what a major problem that we are doing to this bill for whatever reason without discussing the issue of Amendment Number 3.
Motion is before us is to return to the second for the purpose of a specific amendment.
Rescinding.
There is objection to returning to second. Members, please.
Madam Speaker.
Representative Navarre.
Call the House.
There is a call on the House. While we're waiting, the House stand at ease. Mr. Sergeant-at-Arms, is the call satisfied?
It is.
The call is satisfied. Representative Martin, very briefly, your explanation for wanting to return to second. Very brief.
Well, basically, I was very surprised and somewhat shocked that we did take a bill from committee.
Representative Martin, that's not being brief.
Okay. I was prepared to discuss the issue as a bill. But yesterday, when it came up as an amendment, it completely undermined anyone's effort who is seriously about the subject of early retirement. And so I really think because we have been able to get more information because my staff is working overtime, that people need to know here what this is costing. The sponsor of the bill said yesterday that and this morning, we are short of money. And we are short of money. But what you don't understand is that this early retirement takes away from the formula funding.
Mr. Absolutely Representative would Martin. Representative Martin, yeah. On your motion to return to second.
Madam, point of order, he can't debate the amendment.
I'm not allowing that to happen, Mr. Minority Leader. But the House come to order. The question before the body is a motion to return to second. Representative Navarre.
Madam Speaker, could I make a suggestion to the member who made the motion? And that is that since it's contained in the bill, he can make his arguments about the pros or cons and then make the motion to rescind. Maybe at that point you will have convinced some of us rather than trying to make your arguments on a motion to rescind, which, if it fails, you can't get back to.
Representative Martin.
Privilege.
Representative Martin.
May I remind the Speaker to follow his own direction?
The House stand at ease. Representative Martin, would you come here, please?
Yeah.
House stand at ease. The question before the body is a motion to return to second for consideration of rescinding a previous action. Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
11 yeas, 27 nays.
And so the motion to return to second has failed to pass the House. Brings us back under general debate on House Bill 217. Representative Martin.
Well, thank you, Madam Speaker. I think the major problem I have with this bill right now is that it began as one major issue that we've had for the last 3 or 4 years, tenure of teachers and why and wherefore. And last year we did have that sob, or maybe the year before. Now we're trying to mix apples and oranges. It seems to me that it's kind of like a medicine with a little spoon of sugar. The medicine goes down better. I look at it another way. It's like rushing into the fires of hell. You got a major issue before us on teachers' early retirement. And we didn't have a fair chance yesterday on the amendment to discuss that major bill. And I would like to, at the pleasure of the body to talk about what is happening with teachers' retirement, not just statewide employment retirement. In 1988, when we first gave the retirement, early retirement, we had a pretty well-balanced retirement plan. And anyone can get this report from Legislative Budget and Audit. In the year 87, we had a surplus. We had a 14%, $14 million surplus in the actualities of teacher retirement. Last year, I should say 91, we are $295 million in the hole for teachers' retirement. Now we want to rush this plan in. The major concern we have is the same thing that you said. It's for the children. It's for the children. We have to worry about class sizes. We have to worry about the number of teachers. Ladies and gentlemen, this retirement money comes directly out of the formula funding. You're taken away from the local schools, all in the name of children. children aren't being helped by this at all. You're taking the form of funding away. You're also decreasing the value of the funding. We're losing interest on the funding. We also, right now, because we're so low, a recent case that came to my attention, the retired teachers through NEA are suing us because we're not giving them cost of living on their retirement. My major problem is right now, and I don't want to show you other charts showing that we do have a major problem. We should look at it on its own value. Right now, the other body is about to pass another bill over, 148. It should be in our hands tomorrow. It's voluminous. Here it is, about 28 pages on teachers' retirement. Suppose they throw this on our bill. Said, here you guys, now have fun. I'm trying to save us from jumping into the fires of hell, I think, right now. I don't want us to get into this bad situation where you have two different groups of teachers. The new teachers coming in who want a fair shake of tenure, who want a fair shake of getting hired. And then you have the older teachers, been in the system 15 years. Some of them been in 10 years because they get their credits from going to the lower 48. Now they can get early retirement after teaching 10 years in Alaska, rip off the system. That's why I say it's called rip. And could care less about the kids because the money comes out of the formula program. This new group of teachers are struggling for an honest job. They're going to have to pay a higher rate on their retirement. They're going to also have to pay a higher rate to get us actuarially sound. When we used to be 104% sound, now we're down to 95. Someone says that's actuarially sound, but why not pay 100% of what you owe instead of just 85% of what you owe? I think this bill may have been good on tenure. I wasn't comfortable with it then. Very, very uncomfortable with what will happen to us now. When you give the opposing body their bill on your bill for tenure, you're going to have one heck of a mess. Let's divide the issues and discuss them on their own purposes. The children, I had a letter here describing that a little better, that on behalf of the teachers, children, many teachers are asking for increased pay raises so they can also get out of the system earlier. And it sounds ludicrous. The person said, who are they helping? What children are they helping? If we get rid of our best teachers today because we pay them too much, how are we helping them? So you got a generation gap. The teachers that have been in there 10 or 15 years, they want to get out early. They've had it. They're burned out. At $55,000, they can't do it anymore. Then you got the new teachers who want a fair chance of getting a job, who want no more than 2 or 3 or 4 years at the absolute most of tenure. These two opposing forces within the same group. I just can't see NEA going up the aisles of a marriage like this, the old teachers and the new teachers. They're not so old. You know, in this group here, after 20 years, you're going to retire from the, there's no age limit either, from the teacher's program. And that's why the actuality of the teacher's retirement program accelerates, the default accelerates quicker than any others, because 20 years and out, no age limit. And we pay a higher percentage. That's my major concern. I don't know how I can express it to anyone any greater, that the money comes out of the formula program. You're not helping the children. You're making it even worse on the local school districts to pay their bills. No, you won't have money for chalk. You won't have money for extracurricular. You won't have money for other things. You won't even have the same amount of teachers there because you can't afford them. This teacher not only got out at early retirement, now we have a double dipping. We must pay their actuality for 3 or 4 years, take it out of formula funding. Then we have the new teacher who we also pay another retirement on. I think, ladies and gentlemen, whatever is compelling you to rush into this simple amendment on a major bill, I think is not good. Please reconsider getting amendment number 3 out of it. Thank you.
For the information of the body, before we continue debate, I just want to advise the body we will take debate until 1 p.m. We will take a one-hour break for lunch and come back at 2 p.m. Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I would like to try to make the point that the representative just preceding me made, the senior member of this body. When he talks about the money coming out of the foundation formula, you will recall that under debate yesterday on the amendment, that I said that in 1991 that there was a $15 million debt for the previous early retirement, that the school districts were coming down to us saying, we don't have the money to pay this $15 million, and we want you to give us the $15 million to pay it. What they did at the time, because we didn't have the $15 million, and it was also at the same time they wanted the educational formula changed from whatever it was at the time, $60,000 a unit to $61,000. They wanted the change in the formula, and they wanted us to pay this $15 million because the school districts didn't have the money to pay the $15 million. So when the senior member talks about it coming out of the foundation formula, he is correct. Somebody has to pay that $15 million that to this date has not been paid. What happened then was they average it out over a period of 3 years. They spread it out over a period of five, and I'm sure the Finance Committee chairman at the time remembers this better than I, so that we didn't have to put in the $15 million that year. So you pass this bill, that $15 million hasn't been paid into the teacher's retirement. You pass this bill with this amendment on it, you have another like amount or more that then becomes a burden either on the state, since the school districts are subsidiaries of the state. Either they pay it or we become the debtor. And when we become the debtor, at some point in time, that debt has to be paid to that teacher's retirement fund. So if it's paid by the school districts, they've got to take it out of the formula. Just exactly like when we had before us, at that time, the previous RIP bill for state employees, every year there was a line item in each and every department's budget that said we had to pay so much. And I remember DOT very clearly, we paid $6 million one year and so much another year and so much another year into every one of those budgets to pay for those RIPs. So the money to pay for this does not just automatically materialize. And it does cost money, folks. It costs bunches of bucks. And those that were in our caucus for the previous 2 years know fully well that we were under tremendous pressure to pass the early retirement bills, and we didn't do it. And the reason why we didn't do it was because of the cost to the retirement system. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Further debate, Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I want to state that my understanding that the teacher's retirement system is one of the most actuarially sound retirement systems in the entire country. And I don't think that there is risk, as has been suggested by the two previous speakers. There's always going to be some risk, but we are one of the, in fact, near the top of the list in terms of the soundness of the retirement system in the country. I'll also say that retirement incentive programs, if structured properly and administered properly, will provide savings which more than offset the additional costs of allowing the early retirement into the system. But I don't want to focus a lot of my remarks on the RIP portion of the bill, even though I support it. I want to focus on the other provisions of the bill and want to say that I know there were a number of attempts at trying to seek a compromise and a consensus bill that all members could, or most members could, support. And I'm saddened by the fact that those efforts were not successful, because I think what we have now is a bill that is viewed as a threat by a huge segment of our teaching profession. I think that while the provisions have been desired for years by some of the school boards and the administrators, I think that efforts to strike a compromise and a consensus should be continued, because my concern is that this bill, in the end, accomplishes nothing. The reason that it accomplishes nothing is because it is unlikely, I believe, to pass the legislature in the first part. And secondly, if it does, I don't believe it will survive the veto pen of the governor. So that the end result is we've gone through a lot of turmoil. We've worked to, I guess, polarize even further the interests that focus on this piece of legislation, and efforts then to seek a compromise or consensus, I think, will be set back again. And I don't want to see that. I think that there's room for compromise in the positions of both sides, and I hope that efforts, as this legislation continues, will continue, and that we will strike some type of a balance which will not be viewed as much of a threat, and at the same time still provide some of the administrative tools that administrators and the school boards feel is necessary. And I think that can be struck, everybody's going to have to give up a little in the negotiating process, and I urge the efforts to continue with that. As it is now, it's sort of a poison pill. I support the RIP portions of the bill, but do not support the other portions of the bill, and I'll be voting against this legislation. I also want to mention that the sponsor of this legislation said that tenure was put in place when we had a lot of money, and I looked up the statute to see when tenure was put in place, and it was well before we had a lot of money. In fact, the fiscal problems and the availability of funding was much, much less in the 60s when this was put in place than it is now. We have more money available now, so I think that argument does not wash very well. I think that the tenure rights and the ability now for administrators to get rid of bad teachers exists. Perhaps we need to allow some additional tools in that effort, but I think that this one is not the right approach, and I'm saddened by the fact that I think that the way that the bill is structured now, it doesn't make it through the entire process, which includes the executive veto authority, and as a result, this bill will end up accomplishing nothing, and a lot of work and turmoil and strife will be laid in its wake. So I will not be supporting the legislation, although I could, I think, support legislation if we struck a compromise.
Further debate? Representative Finkelstein.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd request permission of the body to go back to second reading for the purpose of an amendment, that amendment being amendment number 26, which is on members' desks.
Without objection, we are back in second for the purpose of a specific amendment, that being amendment number 26. Representative, would the clerk please read amendment number 26?
Amendment number 26 by Representative Finkelstein, beginning page 2, line 9, after years.
Representative Finkelstein.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd move amendment number 26.
Representative Ivan.
Objection to the amendment.
Without objection. Is there objection? Without objection, amendment number 26 is adopted. Brings us back down to debate on House Bill 217. Further debate? Representative Davies.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Well, I'm disappointed that this bill's gotten to where it was. I was sort of semi-optimistic yesterday that we might come to a compromise on it. We got pretty close, I guess, but unfortunately we didn't. So now we have, I agree with almost entirely with the remarks of the previous speaker, or the speaker from Kenai, that we're just basically further polarizing the issue. I'd also concur in the comments about the establishment of tenure. Tenure is an issue that we established a long time ago. It basically just amounts to a requirement that teachers be dismissed with just cause. It's not exactly that, but it's equivalent to that. And the reason for that, Madam Speaker, is that as many of you know, when you get into local politics and into the politics of the school house, that it can get pretty personal, and that there are there are attempts from time to time when people disagree with a reading policy or something like that to attempt to go after a particular teacher for the reasons of policy disagreements rather than because whether or not the teacher is a adequate teacher or not. And I think that we need to have that kind of protection in the system to provide the teachers a little bit of insulation from that kind of pressure, and also just to simply provide, as I said, a well-established grievance process for dismissal of teachers. And I also concur that perhaps there needs to be in some consensus-type discussions some ability to look at that. I do believe, however, that the process works right now, that if you have a teacher that's not performing, that if you follow the guidelines, that you can dismiss that teacher. Secondly, Madam Speaker, with respect to the two, three, four-year issue, Madam Speaker, I think that there is a possibility of a compromise at 3 years. Although I don't believe that the two-year problem is a problem of the tenure per se, I agree with the comments that were made from the representative from downtown Anchorage, that it's a problem of evaluation. If you look at corporate America, there are very few situations where people are effectively on probation for longer than 3 to 6 months. If you can't make your evaluation, if you can't be serious about evaluating a person in that amount of time, you're just not serious about evaluation. Madam Speaker, I believe that 2 years is an adequate period of time if there is an active, serious evaluation process in place to do that. Now, I recognize that there are problems given the financial constraints that we have right now, that the administration, and I know especially the administration in the Fairbanks area, has been cut back tremendously. And finding the time for a principal to go in and do an adequate evaluation when they're faced with all the administrative duties and also the disciplinary problems that they have to deal with, you know, is asking an awful lot of administrators to carry all that out. And so I think that we do have a problem of inadequate funding of the schools as well, that's beginning to, these problems that we're talking about are being exacerbated by an inadequate amount of funding that's resulted from continuing to keep the foundation unit fixed over the years and forcing the school districts to eat inflation, in our case, by firing administrative staff and getting rid of, you know, other kinds of special programs. So I think the problem is not the 2 years, it's not that. I think the fundamental problem is evaluation. Lastly, Madam Speaker, I'd like to address the question of RIP and whether it's can be financially feasible or not. And Madam Speaker, I'd just like to march through a very simple hypothetical calculation with you to show that at least under a certain set of assumptions, it clearly can be profitable. So, Madam Speaker, I'd like to take the case of a senior teacher who's 3 years from retirement and who's making $50,000 a year as a base salary. And for purpose of this discussion, just to make the mathematics easy, I want to assume that the benefit package is 25%. Now, you can quibble with my numbers, and they can change a little bit, but I think the basic result will be the same. And also, Madam Speaker, let's assume that we replace that teacher with an entry-level teacher that would be making $30,000 a year. So, Madam Speaker, for the retiring teacher, the amount that we're spending per year on that teacher is $50,000 plus 25% of $50,000 to pay for the whole benefit package, including retirement. And Madam Speaker, that total then would be $62,500. $62,500 is the total benefit package, wages and benefits for that teacher. We allow that teacher to rip, and we hire a new teacher at $30,000. The benefit package for that new teacher at the same 25% is only $7,500. The total remuneration for the new teacher is $37,500. And, Madam Speaker, assuming that the retirement portion is 10% of the total retirement of the base wage, and we continue to pay the retirement portion of the teacher who ripped, that would be $5,000. Now, my numbers may not be exactly right, but just bear with me for the moment. If we add that $5,000 to the $37,500, which is the total benefit package of the new teacher coming in, we get a grand total per year of $42,500. Madam Speaker, that's $20,000 per year less than we were paying before. We've hired a new teacher, we're still paying the benefit package, the retirement portion of the package of the old teacher, and we're paying $20,000 a year less. Now, Madam Speaker, that accounts for actuarial soundness of the retirement system because we're continuing to pay in the same amount to the retirement package that we would have otherwise. So, and we're saving $20,000 per teacher under this assumption. Now, like I say, you can quibble with my percentage a little bit, but the net result will be the same. The bottom line is that under these kinds of circumstances, you certainly can save money by instituting a RIP. And Madam Speaker, I would suggest that even if the numbers go to the point where you only break even, it does allow you some management flexibility so that you don't have the circumstance that the representative from District 14 talked about where you may have a teacher in one discipline that is forcing out a teacher in another discipline that you really want, that you can't afford to get rid of. It gives you a little flexibility to keep the mix of expertise in your faculty the way that you want it to deliver the courses appropriately for the students and the course load that you have. So, Madam Speaker, I would suggest that there certainly are ways to administer a RIP program where it works and where it's beneficial both for the financial part of the picture, but also from the management of your staff part of the picture. So, Madam Speaker, I think that the RIP part is good, but the other things that we've done in this bill are bad, and for that reason, I'll be voting against it. Thank you.
House, please stand at ease. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent. The House stand in recess until 2 o'clock.
We are recessed. Representative Navarre?
Could we first take up special order of business?
Oh, do you want to do it right now?
Yes.
House, come back to order.
I don't think everybody has copies. Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move that we go down to unfinished business for a special
Without objection, we are under unfinished business.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move that we take up a citation in memoriam for George Robert Douglas at this time.
As a special order of business?
As a special order of business.
Without objection?
Madam Speaker, I move that the citation be approved.
Without objection, that citation is adopted.
Thank you, Madam
Speaker. I'll stand in recess until 2 p.m. House, please come to order. Would members please indicate their presence to indicate a quorum?
Here.
Present teacher. No, present teacher. Madam. We do have a quorum present to conduct business. We're under debate. Third reading on House Bill 217. Representative Willis?
I'm back, so...
Good. We're glad to have you back. We missed you very much. Further debate on House Bill 217. Representative Robinson?
Actually, I was going to get a little bit more time to get together, Madam Speaker, but being no one else stood, I guess I stood. Madam Speaker... You know, I, too, I guess, with the rest of the body, would do anything if this group would take this bill and put it back in rules and let all the affected groups sit down and just continue to do a little bit more work. I mean, I think that we were, you know, getting there and just didn't quite, you know, make it past go before the bill came to the floor, and wish that we did have another opportunity so that all of us, as we stated on some other bills, would be able to support. Madam Speaker, you know... Given a 4-year does not improve the quality of education. Everybody keeps talking about that there's some magical number here, and I'll be honest with you, I don't think there's any real magical number in any way you look at it. What I continue to hear from my constituents out there, it's never once have I had a call or complaint, or even as a parent when my son was going through the school system, did I have a problem with our teacher who was just hired the first year, second year, even usually the third year. The teachers that actually I had some of the most difficulty with were the teachers who were in for, you know, 10, 15 years. And nowhere in this bill do we actually address anything dealing with the teacher who has been around for a long time, who's causing problems and people want to get rid of. Madam Speaker, the other thing is that I'm kind of confused over this bill is the fact that as I understand it and as I read it, teachers already have the longest probation period of any state employee. And, again, when I worked for the state, the first job I had, it was within 6 months that I was off probation. When I directed a private nonprofit within our bylaws, everyone who came and worked for us, again, it was in 6 months that they were on probation before they became permanent employees. And I'm not quite sure why we believe that we need to be putting an additional 2 years on the evaluation system of a teacher. I even kind of look at the fact that I have some real fears over the fact that, you know, 4 years, I mean, if you have a bad teacher, what are we going to do? Keep reevaluating this teacher and giving this teacher another year? As far as I'm concerned, if a person doesn't make the muster in the first 2 years, they then should be evaluated appropriately and they should be let go and not continue to have them in the system for another 2 years until now you can finally manage to determine that they're not going to make tenure and get rid of them. Madam Speaker, I also really believe that nothing in this bill improves the quality of education. And the thing that I'm the most concerned about and very concerned about is the quality of education. And again, when I'm talking with the people in my district, the kind of two things that continue to come up, and I don't see anything in this bill that corrects these two problems, and one is more parental involvement. Every place and everything and every time I go to a meeting, that's one of the number one issue. How are we going to get more parental involvement into the system? Number two is lowering classroom size. And if anything, I have fears that this has the potential of increasing the classroom size. If we can continue to just cut back because of budget crisis, cut back more and more teachers, it just means that the teachers who are left are going to have to teach more and more children. And I have some very serious concerns about exactly what that means. And definitely in the layoff provisions, I believe real clearly will increase classroom size, not bring down classroom sizes. Madam Speaker, there were also two amendments that I personally were hoping that I could have convinced the sponsor to bring back up before this body, and obviously I'm wise enough to know that if I don't have the sponsor's blessing on these, they're not going to come forward. And I realize that, you know, I'm still learning the process and I need to have things, you know, in order before it goes to third reading. But sometimes if you get a better understanding of the bills and as you think about them overnight, you get a better sense of maybe what some of those changes are going to be. And you read through the amendments that have passed and the amendments that haven't passed, and you have an opportunity then to say, okay, these are a few other things that we ought to do just to make this bill a little bit better so when it passed that we're doing what's in the best interest of the kids of this state. And, you know, Madam Speaker, one area that I think that we have really lacked in this bill is that if a teacher is denied tenure by the district for good cause, I believe the teacher should receive a written statement of the reasons of denial of tenure, and upon leaving the school district should have the right to be able to get their files back. And I'm hoping, again, that as this bill moves, that the sponsor will take these amendments and work over in the Senate to get some of these things in. Madam Speaker, the other problem that I have here is, again, being a parent who had a child in the school system, I really also believe that if a school district determined that they were in a financial crisis, I, again, believe that they should be required to write a report and explain to the community why it is they no longer, they believe that they're going to have to, you know, cut back on the number of teachers, and also let the community know exactly which teachers are going, which programs are going to be lost, and why they truly believe that we are in such a financial crisis that they're going to have to do layoffs. And it's another provision that I believe that, unfortunately, is not in this piece of legislation. Madam Speaker, I guess I just, you know, end with the fact that I would prefer if we would, you know, pull this bill back, give all the existing parties, I mean, I believe that for the best interest of education and for the children of this state, that this piece of legislation should have the handprints of not only of the teachers, not only the administration and school boards, but also the, all the parents that are also involved. And I don't believe that that has taken place. I personally believe that we can get there and would have got there if we had just given this a little bit more time in the committee to hash out the differences and come to this body with a consensus in which everyone could feel comfortable about. I have some real strong feelings about the fact that we continue to blame our teachers for everything. And the facts are, and how I see it, is the fact that we are not funding education at the level that it should be funded, and that if we would step up to the plate and recognize the need for putting more money into the system, more money for education, then we'll be not at this point where we feel like we have to destroy the systems that have been there for a long time. And would really request that everyone rethink this one, give it a little bit more time before we vote on it. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Further debate? Representative James.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I rise in wanting to talk about the tenure issue again, and I want to say that the representative from District 4 made some of my points. I have been very outspoken on the fact that I don't think tenure works. I think that the problem that I have with tenure is not fixed in this bill, but it's a little bit better than it was before, because as the representative from District 4 indicated, that the teachers that she's had problems with were those that have been here for a long time. And I don't blame the teachers for that, nor do I necessarily blame the administration for that, nor necessarily do I blame the parents for that, but I blame it on something called tenure. It sets up a status that is that has the appearance of being permanency. And there's a difference between permanent employment and permanency. The problem we have with teachers and evaluation process is that teachers perform an entirely different type of occupation than someone who works as a clerk in an office. Because a person that works in the clerk in the office has specific things they must do. The teacher has to adapt, and everything that she does is not the same today as it was tomorrow, because she adapts to the needs of the children, and that's the way it ought to be. I believe that the one of the problems that we have with the evaluation of teachers is because that the problems are created over a long period of time. And it's very difficult to identify the problems until they are a problem. Sometimes it's personality changes. Sometimes it's reaction to the children in the wrong way. Sometimes it's an inability to communicate the lessons. And I don't want to take any more time to batter, if you will, tenure today, but I support extending that period of time in tenure just as taking a bite out of tenure. I'm saying that this solution certainly isn't the solution to the education problem that we have. I'd say if this is one of the pieces, there's at least 50 more pieces, and I sincerely think that we ought to take a really good look at the education system and see what we can do to make it be more effective and to make everyone work together so that the parents are pleased and the administration is pleased and the teachers are pleased. Right now, they're not all pleased, any of them. And so until we can have those people all pleased, we have not found a solution. And I would urge everyone on this floor today to continue to search for a solution as to how we can have a good working relationship between those people and have the outcome of the best education for our kids that we can have. We can't do that while we continue to squabble over these kinds of little things. And so I will be supporting this bill today, and I wanted to make it perfectly clear how I feel about tenure.
Further debate? Representative Cabina?
Madam Speaker, I am a teacher. This would be my 20th year as a teacher. This bill was in Labor and Commerce, a committee I sat on, and sort of must have sat in the files there for a while and not come up, and all of a sudden came up. I wasn't real pleased to actually even deal with the bill because I don't think the bill totally addresses or even partially addresses the real problems in education. One of the problems I had is that we debated this bill. I think it was a Friday night. We went late into the evening until 10. I had thought that the bill was going to be held over until Monday. Come to find out while I was gone for the weekend that Monday became 7 o'clock in the morning on Monday, and someone obviously had a desire to get this bill read over very rapidly. And I think what happened is it cut off the committee process, the committee debate that was going on. I thought we were moving forward. I worked very hard to bring the sides together because I honestly feel that these groups of people in education that have different roles need to come together and sell education as a group, or else we're going to continue to have this friction and the whole process is going to deteriorate to the detriment of the students who were there to teach. So I think that if that would have went forward, we would have came to the floor with a better bill. I actually, since I had to deal with the issue, I wanted to have a bill that I could vote for. And I don't have a bill right now that I could vote for. I think the tenure issue is one of them that does not in any way, shape, or form address the problem. You know, I called up my superintendents and talked to them about what's the real problem with tenure. They all agreed that if they had a little more time, it would make things easier. Usually there's a cut and dry decision already there. But in my mind, you know what we should do? We should make the requirements to be a teacher, first of all, more strict. They should have to meet a higher standard. In order for me to become a teacher, first I had to get a degree. There's no such thing as a degree in education in California. We had to get a degree in something, whatever that may be. And then, after you got a degree, you went forward, and you took teaching classes. You student taught for a whole year, two different schools, two different situations. You know, you had more of an opportunity to get experiences before you got there. So I think that would have been a better issue to address than this issue. I'm talking about my own personal self. And let me say that because I'm a teacher, I'm not an NEA member. I've never been an NEA member, although I try very hard to work with them on issues that are before us dealing with education. But because I'm not one, so I just don't want people to think that I fall automatically in some category that has to follow any particular group's position. That's not the case. So I believe if we looked at teaching and the profession and how we got people there, we made certain requirements before they even can get into the program, that we'd go a long ways towards having a better educational system. But I was willing to make some compromises with this. I mean, I think the sponsor has, in some respects,
tried to accommodate things that were fair. I want to give them credit for that. But I believe that if we would have came to the compromise amendment of 3 years, that one, the school districts would have been happy, the administrators that ran the program would have been happy, and I think the teachers would have accepted that as a compromise provision of them giving up something in order to try to bring people's support into education farther. We haven't done that, and I think it's a mistake, because I think this bill goes forward then by these groups still arguing, fighting, have distrust for each other. And I think there's got to be a way to build that trust within the education community. On the section on layoffs, I believe there are problems with this section that are minor, but that if it would have went farther through this committee process, would have been addressed better. There's not timelines, there's not dates. I believe this section is going to end us up in court more so than if it had not been put in here at all. And I think that's the one thing the sponsor's desire was, to get us out of court more. And maybe the last section on that, dealing with non-retention of tenured teachers, possibly will do that. It does skip one process that school districts don't have to go through. As far as the RIP portion goes, I would have preferred that the RIP not be in this bill. I think we had a bill, and I would have liked to dealt with that. I am personally for the RIP bill, and when it came out of Labor and Commerce Committee, I was a do pass for the entire bill. I wish it hadn't been split off. I'm not sure what that does really to the bill. I think that's more of a political situation, but I wish it hadn't been put in here. But that being said, Madam Speaker, I guess I just want to conclude by saying that because we have the votes to do something doesn't mean it's necessarily the best way to do it. I hope that between now and when this comes back up for reconsideration tomorrow, that people will continue to talk and listen to each other so that we end up with a bill on final passage that I can vote for, because I actually would like to vote for one. Thank you.
Further debate? Representative Elton.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, like the previous speaker, I want to commend the work of the sponsor. I can't talk about some of the other committees, but the committee chair and the committee members in Labor and Commerce, I think, worked long and hard, as he mentioned, into the late hours of one evening. I think they made improvements to the bill. Like the previous speaker, I was encouraged by the momentum that seemed to have been built, where each element involved in this debate was very close to ending up with a piece of legislation they could all support. So I don't want my comments against this bill on the floor to reflect poorly against any of them, because I think we came very close. But, Madam Speaker, I'm going to vote against this bill for two reasons. The first reason is philosophical, and the second reason is procedural. Philosophically, Madam Speaker, we talked about this last night. I'm still bothered by the fact that it's going to take 4 years for an administrator to make up their mind on whether a teacher should remain in the system. I mean, I can't get over the fact that I think 2 years is plenty of time. I mean, I think 1 year is plenty of time. There are probably too many teachers in the system now in their second year that shouldn't be there their second year. They should have been out the first year. I guess it probably doesn't come as any surprise if I confess that I arrived here in January. I made up my mind about most of you within 2 months. I mean, I have to, if I'm perfectly candid, I could say I would retain you all, even though some of you have been a pain in the butt. But Madam Speaker, if we can make these decisions in 2 months, why does it take an administrator of a school 4 years? I don't understand that. And for that reason, I can't vote for this bill. Procedurally, Madam Speaker, again, several people have noted that we came very, very close. We came very close to having a package that people could vote on and walk away feeling like they had moved forward. The sponsor of this bill has described this bill as a first step. The representative from District 34 has said that it's one piece. I guess my feeling is that it's not a first step, it's kind of a stutter step. And I'm really concerned that what is going to happen is we're going to take steam out of change. I'm really concerned that some people that are involved in education in the state are going to say, wait a minute, we got as much as we could get last year. Let's not bring it back up because who knows what we might lose. And I think, as many other people have said, that there are problems in our educational system. But I want to echo the comments of the member from District 4. Nobody that has talked to me has said the problem in education is that teachers are getting tenure in 2 years. Nobody has. I don't think that's the problem. And I think we've got problems in districts. We've got problems with curriculum. We've got problems with class sizes. We've got a lot of problems. This doesn't get to them, and I'm just afraid that it takes some of the momentum away to fixing some of the real problems. And so I guess I would like to think that we're all going to vote no on this bill. We're going to acknowledge that we got close. We're going to step back, and we're going to sit down, and we're going to try it again. Because I think if we try it again, we can get to where we need to go. Thanks, Madam Speaker.
Further debate? Representative Porter.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I think everybody that has talked on this bill has got some problem with it, whether they're going to be voting for it or whether they're going to be voting against it. And it's come to me that perhaps the problem with this bill is that there's 60 too many people involved in this process. And I don't have to tell you which 60.